Welcome to the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast from Fluent in 3 months.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. Today I want to talk about something that I always try to do whenever I'm somewhere for at least a few weeks or ideally for a few months, and that is to get some interesting extra language practice by getting lessons of completely different skills. So effectively, you're getting some form of classes in the country, but you're not doing it necessarily as language classes. So as an example, I have taken classes in my travels of very specific things. Very consistently, I've done this with dancing. So I've learned K-pop dances in South Korea. I've learned salsa in Colombia, tango in Argentina, fojó in Brazil, hip-hop in the States. Of course, that didn't involve any language learning, but in each country, I've tried to learn, if possible, some form of dance through dance lessons, which are always in the local language. Other things I've done have included getting windsurfing lessons, getting singing lessons, cooking lessons, and even martial arts classes. So all of these things are things you can do in your home country, but of course, by looking for them in the target country, if you're there for long enough, you're going to have multiple benefits. One of the ones I take a lot from it is expanding my vocabulary in my target language in an interesting new direction. And sometimes this requires a little bit of prep ahead of time. So what I might do is I might do a Google for vocabulary related to this particular thing. You know, whether it's dance lessons, you might want to look into parts of your body and different vocabulary related to that specific dance. When I was learning windsurfing, I had to learn vocabulary like board and tide and sail and all of that. And I would look for it ahead of time, or even nowadays, I would just ask AI to create a list of vocabulary for me and put that into a Google Sheets, export that as a CSV and import that into Anki. But ultimately, you can do this for various different categories. And that's one thing that helps to really expand that specific vocabulary. Another is that even if you're not that advanced in the language, there's a certain way you can ease yourself into these things. So the likes of hip-hop lessons I've taken even in Taiwan on my very first week learning Mandarin. So obviously my Mandarin was absolutely abysmal. And even when I was learning Korean, I didn't get too far beyond the early stages of intermediate levels. But I still went very consistently to K-pop dance lessons through Korean. The advantage of doing something physical, like the big list I mentioned of dancing and some kind of physical group lesson on something else, is that you can incorporate a lot of mimicry. And if you're mimicking your teacher, then even if you don't understand everything that you're saying, that they're saying, you can still move forward in the class, especially if you're already somewhat experienced in that thing. So obviously I've danced in a bunch of different countries, so I would be able to mimic a new dance teacher, even if I don't understand everything they're saying. But ultimately, with enough exposure, it gives you this new way of incorporating the language and uses a different part of your brain and creates that sense of urgency. So I always try to find some form of these lessons wherever I am. So lots of ways you can do this. The simplest of all is if you know the type of thing you'd like to learn, just very simply go on Google Maps and do a search, and you may find, in my case, dance schools or windsurfing lessons at a local lagoon or cooking lessons or whatever it may be. You can find that through a very quick search online. Another thing I do is sometimes I'll go to the local university because there might be a notice board up, or there may be parts of the university where people will stick flyers on poles or whatever it may be. And you can find the advertisements for various classes. That also has the benefit of being more affordable because it's targeted to students. I know you can also do Airbnb experiences. They tend to have group classes for that. but that tends to be a bit more expensive and tailored towards tourists and may even be in English, which kind of defeats the purpose of the language practice aspect. But lots of different ways you can do this. Just a basic search tends to work for me, especially because of an idea of what I want to do. And of course, if you make a local friend or two, you can just ask their advice. What interesting classes would they recommend you go to that maybe they're interested in? And lots of other advantages, like it's actually been my main source of making new connections, expanding my social circle in a much more natural offline way than I would through online communities that I might arrange to meet up with, which are great in themselves. But by going to a group lesson, you share this experience with a bunch of other people. And after the lesson, you could talk about it and say, oh, wow, that was hard, or that wasn't too bad, or I had lots of fun. And very often after these classes, I've gone with the other students of the class out for drinks or for food later, and I made some lifelong friends that way. So obviously it depends on the country, how sociable they may be, but in many cases, it's been a fantastic way for me to expand my social circle without having to have too much pressure of me going to a socializing event by myself, which can be very awkward. Whereas going to a group class by myself has never really felt that awkward because you're not necessarily supposed to go with a bunch of other people. So it really lends itself to a solo activity. And of course, if you're traveling with your partner or with other friends, it can work just as well if a group of you go. But as with everything, I always suggest if you can do it by yourself, you're more likely to integrate and use your language skills. So this is something I always do whenever I'm somewhere long enough. I look up lessons I can take and I get to do it through the local language. I do a bit of prep ahead of time with vocabulary study, and it is fantastic for diving deeper into getting language practice and also improving your other skills. So I just thought I'd mention that real quick in case it's something you may not have considered whenever you're traveling and you're somewhere for more than just a few days, that you can really extend your experience in other dimensions beyond the basic touristy things, beyond standard language practice, to just do things you'd like to learn anyway. So consider that next time you're traveling. I hope you like this little tip. And thanks for listening as always. And until the next time, happy language learning and happy travels.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you found this episode valuable and want to help us out, please leave a review at languagehacking.com/review. The Language and Travel Hacking Podcast is presented by Benny Lewis and produced by Kittichai Boonthong, with special thanks to the Fluent in 3 Months team. The theme music was written and performed by Shannon Kennedy. Find the show notes at languagehacking.com/podcast. Thank you for listening. Happy language learning and happy travels.